Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Print it.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levenstein, and welcome to a special presentation of Comic Timing. Don't think I'm going to number this episode, because this is technically a... Well, it's a panel. That's the best way to put it, because it was one. This was held on April 30th of 2011 at the Comic Geek Speak Super Show, and this is the first of three episodes that we will be releasing that was done at Super Show. Peter Rios this year was nice enough to hold a podcasting quorum, and he asked me to run the panel, and that is exactly what I did. Raph sat his butt down on the panel as well, and if you've listened to the Geeks Unite episode that he put out, you probably know more about that, and I'll link to that in the show notes, and might very well wind up syndicating that on the Comic Timing feed once I'm done putting out all these Super Show episodes, so you will see that soon enough. Joe Sergi helped out with the traveling microphone on this, so very, very, very major props to Joe, and congrats on the freaking Sweer Award, Joe. You deserve it, and I look forward to seeing you next year at Super Show 2012, if we all survive. Bunch of great podcasters in the crowd for this. The guys from Exploring the Multiverse were there. I know that Brad Milo of Half Hour Wasted has a bunch of stuff to say on this. Daryl, of course, from every single podcast you've ever heard of. Bill refused to get on the mic. Just Bill refused to get on the mic, but he was in the audience, and a bunch of other people. So please enjoy the panel. It's a nice hour-long episode of Comic Timing here, and we'll be back later this week with the From the Room recording at Super Show. And that one was a humdinger, to say the least. And wow, I just said humdinger. And apparently I am from 1933. But just real quick before we get into the episode, as usual, Comic Timing is sponsored by Discount Comic Book Service, dcbservice.com. And I'll give you guys the picks real quick. Make sure to use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order if you are not using DCBS. And if you're not, then shame on you. Shame on you. You really should be using DCBS. And here we go. Captain America number one, the start of the brand new Cap series. It's written by Ed Brubaker with pencils and cover by Steve McNiven. So first Steve McNiven pencils that we have seen in quite some time when it comes to Marvel for a full issue. 75% off at 99 cents here. Over in the world of indie, this is an Image book, Red Wing number one, written by Jonathan Hickman, art and cover by Nick Patara and Rachel Rosenberg. It's part of a six-issue miniseries. The beginning of a six-issue miniseries starts right here. To stay alive in the future, the best fighter pilots in the world not only have to perfect their skills and master their aircraft, they also have to know how to travel through time. Brought to you by award-winning writer Jonathan Hickman and possibly the best new talent of the year, Nick Patara, The Red Wing is the story of the greatest battle in the history of three worlds. 50% off for $1.75, regular price of $3.50 here, and that's the indie pick. And over in DC, DC's doing some interesting books this month. DC Retroactive Justice League America, well, that would be Justice League of America, but it's written here as Justice League America, haha, the 70s number one, written by Carrie Bates, art by, to be determined, pretty sure they did announce that, but it's not on here, so I'm not going to look it up. So, because I'm lazy, this is a vintage 70s Justice League story, considered a lost tale, done in the style of 70s Justice League. 50% off for $2.49, regular price of $4.99. You're going to get one full story and one reprint of a Carrie Bates story from the 70s in here. And one more book to talk about on this little promo here. It's one that some of you may not have heard of, but others of you might. And this is out of Action Lab. My boy, Sean Pryor, has himself a book in previews this month. How awesome is that? Really, how awesome is that? Good for the Action Lab, guys. Fracture number one, written by Sean Gabarin with art by Chad Ciccone. Okay? So it's not a Sean Pryor written book, but it's a Sean Pryor at the heart book. And really, that's all you need, right? Sean Gabarin, Chad Ciccone, Lower Triton's greatest hero, Virtue, its nastiest villain, Malice, and a guy named Jeff all have something in common. They're the same person, and none of them knows it until now. When Jeff stumbles upon Malice's plan to murder Virtue, he must try to save all three of them himself from himself. And it's 45% off at DCBS for $219, regular price of $399. The Diamond order code, by the way, is May110783. Just in case you're not getting it from DCBS and want to get it from your local comic book shop. That's May110783. Go out there and support Fracture. Go out there and support Sean Pryor. You'll hear him on the next episode of Comic Timing live from the Super Showroom. So without further ado, here is the podcasting quorum as moderated by myself and with help by Joe Sergi and Raf Suhu. Enjoy.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
It's good.
All right. Okay. Well, everyone, I'm going to sit down after. Actually, I know I'm not. I'm going to run around with the microphone when people have questions.
We should sit down.
There you go.
So,
for now,
I'd like to welcome you to the second panel here. I'm assuming the purpose of this panel is we figured it's a podcasting show, so we should have something on podcasting, and that way you won't just yell at your iPod. You could yell at us.
Yay.
So, it's perfect. I'm handing it over to Ian. He'll introduce himself because I introduced him to somebody and I think I got every fact wrong, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Even including the team that he used to that he used to announce for.
But it's okay.
I was in the right city.
Close enough.
Yes. In the wrong you know, league.
Wrong,
but the right city.
The
yeah, in wrong borough. Yeah. It was,
yeah. It was the Brooklyn.
But I'm going to hand it over and then I'm going to run around with a microphone for anyone who. This is a pretty open forum. There's no panelists. So we could just chime in. Well, you're the leader.
Oh, I'm the leader. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
So yeah. You've got a big head and you're green?
I don't even think we called you a moderator. We called you what?
coach or something like that, yeah.
Put me in the game, coach.
For those of you who don't know me, and shame on you for not, my name's Ian Levenstein. I've been... don't clap. Hi, Daryl. How you doing? This isn't a podcasting forum. I'm just going to talk to Daryl for the next hour. My name's Ian Levenstein. I've been going to the Super Show events since before they were even Super Show. CGS 100, CGS 200, CGS 300, 1, 2, and 3. I'm not showing off. All right. I'm saying that to say just how much CGS has affected my life and my podcasting. And my wife.
Wife,
and my wife, apparently.
You didn't tell me you married. Oh, I'm just
whoa!
Impressed.
Back off. I started out with a show called Geek Speak. It was a. It was pretty much laugh at that, Brandon.
Whatever happened to Geek Speak, Ian?
Well, I stopped doing it because I moved on to Comic Timing.
Whatever happened to Comic Timing, Ian?
It's great that this is turning into the roast of Ian Levenstein here. As opposed to an actual panel. That's not what I signed up for. I started off with Geek Speak. It was a college radio show that I turned into a podcast. That went for a little while until I got tired of talking to myself. And then Comic Timing branched out because I've always been a comic book fan, so I just figured, why not? Podcasting show. Comics. Ba-da-boom. We did, originally, it was David Price, who you might know from Bullpen Bulletins and 11 O'Clock Comics. And a guy named Toby Cook, who isn't really around too much anymore, but that then led to Matt Summer from now of the That's What She Said podcast, formerly That's What She Said, whatever. And now I'm with Brent Cassina, who's not in this room. He's in Orlando. He's got a married life now. Yes. And a lot of the people in this panel have been on the show at one point or another, or they have their own shows. We're going to talk about podcasting all hour, maybe a little longer than that here. So pretty much, if you guys want to talk about how you got into podcasting or questions about podcasting, the podcasters and podcast fans in the audience will be happy to answer that. So whoever wants to start it off, please, by all means. This is your panel. I'm just here. So Daryl, why not? He's right next to you.
How do you get started with podcasting?
Well, Daryl, it was a cold day in December in 1984. No, I when I worked for Brooklyn College Radio, we exactly had one listener. It was just a streaming show, and no one was there. So I was like, all right, well, how can I actually get people to listen to this show? And right around then, at that point, the only way you could really listen to podcasts was through Podcast Alley. It wasn't actually on iTunes yet. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a shot. And it was pretty easy enough. All I did was just, you know, convert them to MP3s, put it up on a website, and bam, you're good to go. It helped that I had professional equipment because I was working out of a college radio station. Then I started doing Comic Timing, and the sound quality was crap. And it was, you know, it took a learning curve, but now I'm happy with what I do. And that's how I got started, Daryl. You're welcome.
What equipment do you use?
Right now, actually, it's a setup pretty similar to this, minus, of all things, the mixer. At my home, when I'm just doing it myself, I just have a microphone hooked up to my desktop computer. And from there, I actually use what's recording this show right now is what I use to record my show via Skype. And that's what I do because I have a Skype show because my co-host lives in Orlando. And it's amazing how much...
What's the device called, Ian?
It's called a Zoom H2.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ref. And this thing has like four microphones built into it. Yeah, Brad's got one in the audience. Wave it again. Yay!
I hope everyone saw that.
Yeah.
Who was listening.
Yeah. Well, to describe it to you, it is a device with four microphones built in and a line in that allows you to record. For technical speak, it records stuff, and that's all you needed to do. And yeah, it gets my side of the call, it gets my co-host side of the call, and that's all I really needed to do. And that's what I use at home. And I've never used a mixer. I've gotten away with never using a mixer even when I set up at shows, and that's something that I don't think anyone else is stupid enough to do. But somehow the show turns out okay, and I guess that's good enough for me. I would recommend using a mixer if you're going to plan on doing a forum-type thing where you've got multiple people sitting at a table, because or else you're going to be really, really loud, and they're going to be very, very soft, and there's not much you're going to be able to do about that. That's that. Somebody else.
Any questions?
Somebody else. Don't keep me hanging here. There you go. Right there.
What do you guys use to record over Skype? Is that the thing that you have?
Yeah. No, we use that because what I do is I turn on the actual sound on my microphone in the computer itself so that I can hear myself through the mic. And that then gets picked up by that along with the other side that's coming through the computer from whoever else is on Skype. And what that allows me to do is I lost a bunch of episodes using software. As Brandon can attest to, in the very early days when I was using this terrible piece of software called Hot Recorder.
Oh, Hot Recorder.
This was in the early days of Skype, and this was in the early days of podcasting, where there were literally only two programs to use. If anything happened during the call, if someone dropped, if someone stuttered for a minute, the recording would get out of sync. And I would be talking over the person who was talking on the recording. And that would be a major problem. And sometimes it would just not record the episode at all. So I got tired of that, and I decided to just go with a hardware solution because even if I lose battery life on this, it's still there. You know, I could just see it happening, and I can, you know, press stop, have that be recorded, and then just go back to recording afterwards. And that's helped me out a lot. That device itself is about, I'd say it's about maybe $250. But it's worth every penny because that's my mobile recorder and that's my home recorder. And it's worked wonders for me.
Well, that raises a good segue.
Mm-hmm.
I have the microphone. I might as well talk.
Sure.
People here with a podcast, what software do you use? Anyone want to throw it in? To record your show, do you?
I do. My name is Victor. My podcast is Exploring the Multiverse.
And hi, Victor.
Hello. It's a video podcast. So we actually record into a camera and then import that into my computer and do all the editing with Adobe Premiere. So, and then when I do the editing process, I put out an audio version too. So I just process it a different way.
Okay.
But it's recording to a camera.
Right.
And then, like I said, using Adobe Premiere and Adobe Sound Booth mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
How's the audio quality on the camera?
We use external mics.
Oh, cool. Good.
So,
okay. All right.
We record our amazing show on this.
Wow.
It's not a flip cam. It is a Kodak ZI-8. And we use the reason I bought this, it was cheap, and it can take external microphones.
Mm-hmm.
So we use lapel mics.
Awesome.
And record that way.
Nice.
Because we're all in my basement.
Yeah. Well, when I first started out, audio-wise, I mean, my first recording solution was literally an iRiver I got off of eBay for $50, and it did the trick. I mean, it did. Yeah, no, I mean, it did everything that that the H2 did. Only I needed external mics, and this avoids needing that, which is pretty cool.
Anyone else want to chime in?
Well, I use Audacity with my headset when I'm recording by myself. Which is often, by the way, my name is Raph. I do the Geeks Unite Network, and I'm
occasionally, once every 8 months.
Once every 11 months, and I'm also starting a new podcast called the I'm Sorry Cast, just where I apologize for everything. When I do Skype recordings, though, I use one of the other two recording software programs out there, Pretty May, which hasn't failed me yet in the past 2.5 years.
That's good. So that's good.
That's where, yeah. That, yeah. All right, I'm going back.
Software has gotten a lot better over the years since I started, so that might work out for you. Yeah. Yeah, bring it over. Why not?
With Audacity, mm-hmm. Whenever we try recording solo on yeah. Audacity, it ends up like crashing when you go to save.
Really?
Yeah. You guys ever had that problem?
Apparently someone has.
That happened to me all the time. the key with that is before you record, save. Like save where you want to save it. You do that? Because I've had that happen where it's like saves to whatever it wants to. Then when you try to save it to another location, it locks up and whatever. But if I just tell it where I want to save it first and record, you know, whatever, however long, you know, 20 minutes, 2 hours, whatever, and then save it again, it just goes almost immediately. I've never had a lockup because I told it where the final location is. Because it's moving those files, but I've never had a problem when I've done that.
Out of curiosity, what operating system are you using? Windows, Apple, Linux?
The one after XP.
Okay, so Vista.
That explains everything.
That explains everything.
That's everything.
Absolutely
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is not Audacity. The problem is Windows Vista. Yeah. That's your best. That's your best bet.
Oh. Oh.
The only one I know that feels that way, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm glad that you're lucky like that, man. Yeah.
For those of you that can't hear, there's a vicious debate going on about Audacity and Vista.
Bill Gates hates you all.
Yes. Well, actually, Brad, I'm curious. What software do you guys use on Half Hour Wasted?
Well, when we started, we used Pamela, mm-hmm. was a Skype recorder.
Okay.
Frank and I did our first episode over Skype, mm-hmm. and we had the problem that you had with the sync. Frank and I would talk over each other, and then
right.
there would be long stretches of silence, mm-hmm. and it got to be really strange. So we went to the Shack. And we bought a really cheap 4-channel mixer and bought some that was my armrest. Bought some cheap mics, and then we recorded into my girlfriend's computer using Audacity.
Okay.
And she had a little Mac, so we recorded on that. I used my laptop, my PC laptop, to play sounds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also moved over to the Zoom H2.
Works pretty damn
yeah,
good.
It's awesome. It can line in, you know. I we use a mixer. We got three people on mics. Sometimes we'll have a phone call. I send stuff out of my PC. Frank mm-hmm. and Bill will send stuff out of their PC. So we got a 12-channel mixer that mm-hmm. will take care of all that.
Someday I will actually get a mixer. Someday. It's just again, since it's literally just me most of the time,
it just opens up possibilities.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Because I mean, for now, I'm actually using literally it's a small little adapter I got off of eBay called an XLR.
I forgot I was holding the mic. Sorry.
Nice, an XLR splitter, where it allows you to actually connect two microphones to one laptop using just the one cord, and that's good enough for two mics. But if I were to ever want to do anything more than two mics, it would sound like crap, I'm sure. So I'll probably wind up upgrading if that ever winds up happening. Yeah. Is there anybody here who's thinking about starting a podcast that hasn't? Or
is looking for any. Oh,
Brandon.
Oh, yeah, Brandon. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you. No. Not gonna do that again. No. Okay, actually, as someone who had a podcast for 3 minutes, what problems did you run into? What made you stop?
Most of my problems were the editing.
Okay.
Yeah, it took a long time to do any editing with the one episode you were on, the anime one.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, it was the sound just wasn't syncing up at all, and it wasn't the fact that we were talking to each other. It was just that you would talk, and there'd be a 5 minute pause, then I would talk, and you would talk. With that one, I actually ended up using, I think, was Audition by Adobe, and having to split each line out and then splicing the sound back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the whole for me it was more of a time process. It took a long time to do any real editing because of hindrance with sound.
Well, and that's just it. You have two options when you're doing podcasting. You can either not edit at all, like a show like Comic Geek Speak, where literally all they do is they record their intro, usually after they do the interview, put that at the beginning of the show, and that's all the editing they do. That's it. They keep in all the ums and ahs, and they just put it out there, and it works. It works really well because they've got it down to a science at this point. For a show like me, where I'm anal, I wind up actually editing
really
it.
Really, really anal.
Yeah, I might. But you know, I usually do go in there and take out a lot of the pauses and take out a lot of the extraneous audio, and that's why my show is usually late, because it's a long process. It can be. If you actually want to do the editing, it does take a long time. Yeah.
A few hours at least, right?
At least a few hours, yeah. I mean, I was able to bang out the C2E2 and Mocha episode that I just put out before the show in literally 4 hours, because that was just a bunch of interviews that I was able to put together. But a Skype episode, that can be a lot more difficult at times.
Especially since Skype wants to, you know, drop out every 5 minutes sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Is anyone else using something different just to cover all our bases?
Mm-hmm. Nobody else? Okay. Oh, well, another question.
Well, good. And I didn't have to make up the one I was thinking.
That's good. You can ask it next, Joe.
We use CallGraph.
What is CallGraph?
It's a program. I think it's similar to Pamela.
Okay.
It's free, and we don't have a lot of problems with that. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, it like loses a file, but that's very rare.
Okay. All right.
Oh, for editing. Yeah, we brought on a producer for that.
Lucky you. Lucky you. Yeah.
Producer show, Ian.
Yeah, the next issue that comes up a lot is getting guests. So how do you guys get your guests?
Well, most of the guests I get on the show are people I already know. The few times I've gotten interviews with actual comic book professionals that I might not have known before, it's as simple as asking sometimes, really. I mean, if you do happen to know someone they know, they can give you their contact information, or otherwise, if they have a readily accessible email address online, contact them, and worst comes to worst, they'll say, contact my publicist, and you'll go from there. But really, communication is that simple sometimes with comic book creators.
That's when we were down this past year in Baltimore, one of my co-hosts, he just sent off an email to Boom Studios.
Mm-hmm.
A couple emails later, when we were in Baltimore, we were interviewing Mark Wade.
Yeah.
So it's just asking. Yeah. And, I mean, if the person doesn't want to be interviewed, then it's probably not somebody you should be interviewing. It. You know what I mean? It's like they should be wanting to put out their work, so you should just ask. It's that easy.
Yeah, sure.
You
know? And I've had interviews with Mark Wade as well, both at MegaCon. And I talked to him actually right when the Stan Lee books were coming out. And that was actually Cameron from DCBS was just contacting all the podcasts that are associated with DCBS. And we're like, hey, we have this interview opportunity. Do you want to do it? And it was, bam, that's it. Talked to one person, got the interview. Half hour later, it was recorded, and that's it. Yeah. And Mark Wade's a great guy, too. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Fantastic. Yeah. I didn't say a half hour wasted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just said a half hour later, which could be your next spinoff podcast if you really wanted to be. Yeah. Oh, well. And yeah, with the rest, sometimes it does come down to, I mean, even if you're Twitter friends with them, you know, contact them. Do you do interviews? And then they can say yes or no and go from there. There's so many channels of communication with the internet today that it's you're bound to find somebody who wants to talk to you. And if not, then like you said, move on because it's not worth it. Yeah. Don't try to get Alan Moore.
Anyone have anything to add on that?
Yeah, well, Daryl, you do about 17 shows. I mean, how do you get people to talk to you? I mean, just people.
Twitter's been good. I mean, I've had like Jimmy Palmiotti. You say that, you know, you talk about a book with him, and then you say, "I do a podcast. Do you want to check it out?" You give them a link; they can listen to you. You never know who's listening to your show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that you be open to, you know, talking about stuff, and all they want is someone who's actually reads their product. Right. You know, it when you can come up with things that you've read, you know, and talk about the project that they're working on, they get excited about that. So they want to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, guys like J.K. Woodward, who's here another today one at Super Show.
Very podcast
they listen to podcasts when they're doing the work because they need something to listen to. You know, they can't always listen to music because then they're done with their music.
Well, they want to know what we think.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times. They want to know what you think about the project, what kind of comics do you like. A lot of them are thinking of doing independent stuff. They work on a lot of mainstream, and they want to know what would be a good character to work on, what would be a good, you know, type of thing that they could advertise, and, right, and you know, they would get support for. So. Yeah.
And then there's guys that are just genuinely friendly, like, you know, Jamal Igle. Guy who...
No, he's a jerk. I don't like Jamal.
Well, that's because you're always mistaken for him. That's the problem. Yeah,
I don't like him. He hurts me.
I didn't know you can make it, Jamal, but how are you here?
Where, you know, I mean, they're literally willing to talk to anybody because they just have that friendly nature, that friendly personality. Yeah. You know, whether you have a microphone in front of you or whether you're just going up to their table, that's it. Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah. And convention recording, too, is that simple. If you want to talk to somebody, go up to them. If they say no, move on to the next person. That's it. Yeah. Brad, in the back.
That's how we got Ethan Van Sciver to be on our show more than once. You know, we met him at a con and got to, you know him. And then I honestly can't remember if it was Frank or myself that said, "Hey, we have this show. You want to, you know, talk to us on it?" He's like, "Sure." So, yeah. And he liked us once. So he came back another time to talk to us. So
yeah,
it all you got to do is ask. All they can do is say no.
Sure. And if it does turn out well, just like you said, that could lead up to multiple other opportunities when they come out with new books or if they just want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They made a good roast. They can talk about their new roast. That's it.
One of the greatest moments of my podcasting career was when I asked Jamal Igle to do a DVD commentary on Geeks Unite with me of Superman Returns. Whether or not you like the movie doesn't matter. But the fact that during the conversation, he was like, "Dude, like we were talking about it. It's like, you know, I'm really sorry I couldn't have you over to do it over here." I was like, "Jamal, do you realize you just invited me over to your house to watch Superman Returns with you with a microphone?"
I don't think he realized what he was doing. No.
He quickly soon after did and didn't talk to me for a month. But that's just the awesome power of podcasts. And I mean, most of the comic book community is really good people. I mean,
oh yeah,
Matt Fraction follows me on Twitter, and I never said anything. I never even was like, "Hey, Matt." I did say I loved his work. But like, I was never like, "Hey, Matt, you need to follow me, please, please." And he just decided to follow me. So, yeah. I mean, most people in comics are good, unless they're Rob Guarnido.
But he's not actually in comics. He just pretends to be.
He pretends to be.
Yeah. Did you know he created Batman? Yeah.
No.
True story. Yeah. Yeah. And Kirby Dots. Yeah.
Right. Because he's.
I heard he created Jack Kirby. Is that true?
No, that was Dan Didillo. Oh, well.
Dan Didillo! I love Dan Didillo.
You're raising two interesting points. One is I was recently on a podcast, a non-comic podcast from one of my novels, and it was so clear when it was for a book festival. It was so clear that no one, not only had they not read my book, but they thought it was a romance novel.
Oh, boy.
And it's a superhero book. And I'm like trying to talk to them, and they're like, "No, but the romance between the two main characters," and you could just tell they were talking out their ass. and I was like, "You know there is no romance in my book, right?" And they're like, "Oh, well, we have so many that we must be confused. Why don't you tell us what it's about?" And then I realized it was going nowhere very quickly. So... That's interesting. But you mentioned convention recordings.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't being recorded, right? So I can say.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
The most annoying of the CGS episodes, in my mind, are the convention recordings because just what you say, the quality, because there's no mixer.
Right.
So you can hear the background noises and the people screaming or not. What has been your experience with that kind of stuff?
We begin with Brad Marlowe.
We, Frank and Bill and I, will go to the local con when it shows up, and it's... We record a lot of stuff. You know, I'll carry a recorder around, so will Frank, so will Bill, and I'll edit, you know, different bits together. Mm-hmm. And there's such a pain in the rear to edit, you know, and get out on time. We publish our shows Monday. I'm recording and editing Sunday night. And I every time I do it, I swear that's the last one we'll do. But then we get lots of people that say those are their favorite ones of our episodes. You know, nobody complains about the sound quality or whatever. I guess they just... I don't know what it is, but some people like that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, my personal take is that sometimes it, depending on where you are at the con, it can be, you know, loud or whatever. But it also depends on how well you are at positioning the mic. Because especially with something like the H2, where you just have the two microphones, where you don't even need to move it back and forth. Either get on their level, you can be on your freaking knees if you have to. Or asked to sit at the table.
This is
with
a family
them.
Show.
Oh God! Or asked to go around and sit and just have a back and forth, and that's a great way to get rid of a lot of that extraneous audio because you're just literally talking to the person. There's nobody else in the background, and that's it.
That's actually we found with using our video camera and trying to record because of the different mics that we used and like last year here. Yeah. If you ever go back and listen to our Brian Jale Glass interview, we actually technically did it three times.
Oh, wow.
And he is great. He's such a good sport about
it. He's fantastic.
The first two times, audio was totally screwed up. Totally screwed up. So when we went to Baltimore, I decided not even to bother. This took a lot of editing afterwards, but I didn't even want to bother with putting the audio directly into the camera. So I got the video feed, and I went to... like Staples, got a $40 audio recorder, and I had a wired mic that went directly into the recorder. So I held the recorder down in my hand off screen of the video, and then I just went back and forth, back and forth. Now the editing process of lining up the audio with the video, hell. It was hell. I spent like an extra couple hours doing it, but the quality was great because it's just back and forth.
Sure,
you know, and then you're not talking over each other or anything like that.
Right. Well, with the go ahead. Who else is going to say something? Hey, it's Dave.
I was
Dave.
Distracted by my iPod. I apologize.
It's Dave from the UK.
From Waiting for the Trade podcast.
You guys have spoken quite a bit about getting interviews and getting guests on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about building an audience when you're not using the name power of creators? If your show format is you or you and friends talking about comics?
I mean, I really just have sort of just relied on posting about it on forums more than anything. You know, I mean, we're all a community. You know, we're all geeks here. And that's half the way that I'm sure you guys have found out about Comic Geek Speak is through it being posted in various places, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Twitter, whether it be, you know, random forums here or there. If you frequent a place, do a post and see if they're interested in it. That's it. And if not, then whatever. That's it. You tried. For me, that's literally how it started. I was on Comic Geek Speaks forums. This is before they had separate forums for everything else. If I put out an episode, I'd make a topic about it, and people would listen, and that's it. I don't pretend to have a ridiculously large listenership. You know, I have maybe 1,000, maybe 1,200 people listening, and that's okay for me because I'm not looking for something huge here. This is a hobby more than anything else. So that's how I've gotten. That's how I do it myself. I mean, I know other people go extra steps, but that's kind of how it's always worked for me. Bill, did you want to say something? No? I thought you raised your hand there for a minute.
I don't really know the answer to his question, but I thought it was masterfully asked.
Okay.
Or you can carnival bark like a madman like I do and still get like 5 listeners. sometimes it's just the personality of the podcasters. Like, I love CGS. I love Murd and Jamie and Peter, so I want to listen to them. I see in every week, so I have to put up with him. I might as well listen to the podcast.
You have to put up with me. That's funny.
I love 11 o'clock comics, so I'll listen. It's the people, because we're all pretty friendly with each other. So it's great to listen to each other talk, especially if we don't see each other so much. This is a way of keeping up with each other. Even if we piss each other off on the podcast and can't really talk about it, we'll still go, "Hey, you're wrong about this."
And you know what also helps is iTunes. iTunes helps a lot. If someone does a search for comic books and podcasts on iTunes, they're going to get a lot of stuff to choose from. And if they simply say, "Hey, this looks interesting," and they click on it and they listen to an episode and they like it, you could have a long-time listener there. You know, if they don't, then so be it. They move on to the next one. But both reviews on iTunes and just random finding on iTunes helps out a lot of people.
Hold that thought on iTunes, because we should talk about how to get on there.
Sure.
Now, this all depends on how much money you want to spend. We put out, you can get, if you have first off, you should have a Facebook page if you don't. Second, we put a cap, there was four guys in my podcast, and each month we have our daily or monthly dues. And for a while, we were running Facebook ads on the side. So when you're on Facebook, it's on the right-hand side, and I put this like comic book picture of ourselves up, and I just put like underneath of it, we're a comic book podcast that BS's and drinks beer.
Uh-huh.
And you can put a limit on how much you want to spend. So I put a max of $2 a day. So it costs us $60 a month. And then we split it four ways. And you throw the ad out there, and you can actually see the fluctuations of how people are clicking and then liking your page.
Interesting.
Now, all those people who are liking it are not necessarily continue listening, but there is people that just like they check it out and they're like, "Well, what is this ad over here for comics? I like comics." And when you do the ad, you know, when you go to your Facebook page and you type in all that stuff that you like, "Oh, I like the Iron Man movie, so I'm going to put that on there." Yeah, Facebook does that for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because then when you run your ad, you can say, target people from this age group,
right,
male or female, income, you know, all the stuff. And then you type in Batman, Iron Man, this, that. And then it's like boom, boom, boom. And it shows you how many potential people will see that.
Yeah, same thing as Google AdWords.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah.
I mean, and so
every time you do a search on Google,
those
extra stuff pops up.
So we end up getting just shy of like 1,800 Facebook fans. When we were running ads for a couple months or so. And when you split it up, you know, it wasn't that much then. So we're like, "Oh, for us, it was $15 a month for each one of us to be chipping in."
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wish all those Facebook fans would be continual listeners. But still, then those people, then that at least drives a couple people to it, you know, and continues on. But, of course, you have to fork out a little money for
it. Right. And podcasting is also, like, dependent on just how much money you are willing to spend on podcasting. Because, like, for instance, the microphone that I use at home is it's a cardioid condenser. It's, you know, just for me. I use that at conventions as well. When I set up a New York Comic Con at my table, I have that and one Shure mic that I bought. That cardioid was like $50, and it's better than the Shure, which was $70. And that's all I've ever bought, pretty much. Radio Shack mics are pretty damn good too. Yeah. Yeah, for the price, yeah. And this one was just, you know, random search on Google for the cheapest mic I could get that was good, and that's what I came up with. It's a PVI-2, by the way. PEAVEY. PVI-2. I definitely would recommend that if you're looking for a nice cheap mic to use that is as good quality as some professional mics.
And I use WordPress.
Same here. Yeah.
And it's free. You put a tag. You can put your episode up, put a tag of what was in your episode. Like if somebody's wants to look for stuff on the Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
You put in that you talked about Thor, and I've gotten a lot of listeners who've clicked it. The tag came up, they looked at the episode, they listened to it, and then they got back to me. But make sure you always put contact information, because I've had people hit me on Twitter, like I've listened to the show, you know, and you know, or I caught it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes it so simple, and you don't pay anything.
Sure.
WordPress.
And cross-posting is great, too, because the Comics
good.
Podcast Network
right.
and stuff like that, where it's all these different comic book podcasts, you know, together under one banner, they can post their episodes whenever they want to, and it's another way to find stuff. I've had plenty of people just find me through the Comics Podcast Network, and it's free, exactly, or the
Deliberate Noise Network. That's another one. So, yeah.
Another one I found was good is just back to like the forums, but just go to other comic book forums. Mm-hmm. Go to comic book resources forums. Yep. But what you do is, I mean, hold conversations with people. But it just so happens in your signature line, there's a link to your podcast.
Same here. Every forum I'm on,
right?
It has
that. As a signature on our weekend. I use for our website. I use Squarespace. Now we have to pay like $18 a month for it or something. But I love Squarespace. But I could see all types of info of where people are coming from, where they're clicking from. We're on episode 68, and I still get clicks from our like episode 40. You know, I see stuff coming in, and I'm like, oh, what did, you know, someone click, you know, from? And I'm like, you know, I could see exactly where it's coming from.
People,
but a lot of
people
forums.
Still listen to my episode one. I don't know why they do. It was crap.
Because it's
funny. But people like starting at the beginning of a lot of shows because they just want to see, like, how you started out, no matter what. You know, it's like people starting at episode one of a TV show. It's the same thing for podcasts. So that's exactly what you're saying about, you know, people clicking on old episodes. That's exactly why. They want to see what else is up. Yeah.
Okay. Then another segue, which before we get to the iTunes segue.
Sure.
Money. Obviously, it costs money to have this.
I like money.
It costs money to host.
Give me money.
What do you guys do? Like Comic Geek Speak, obviously, they sponsor episodes. CNI had Dynamic Forces sponsoring them. What do you guys do? Well, do you? Or do you do nothing and just do it for the love is the other question.
Well, I have a DCBS sponsorship. Before that, it was with another company. And it's as simple as they give me a code people can use to get to the site, to use the site for the first time. I get a little bit of money off of my monthly comics. That's all I need. That's it. If you give me an option to get comics for cheaper every month, then I will take that option and I will say thank you. You know, because like I said before, I don't pretend to be one of the big guys. I just like doing what I'm doing. But I'm sure I'd love to do something with, you know, like a Netflix or something like that. But it's not in the cards right now. But guys like the big wigs, like, you know, the This Week in Tech Network, Leo Laporte. They have Audible.com. They have Netflix. They have all these guys. And they are willing to get podcasts or at least try out podcasts to see if that is actually worth their while. They might just say, okay, we'll run an ad for 3 episodes, see how it turns out. And if it works out for us, then they'll keep doing it. So it's as simple as finding their contact page. And if they have a sponsorship program, give it a shot.
Well, I know for the show we got it's good if you have a bunch of co-hosts on the show and you delegate. You know, everybody supports. Like one of our hosts, he goes to a comic store and he just happened to talk about the podcast. Comic store owner listened to the show and then said, you know, I want to sponsor it.
Right.
You know, you do things like that. You go to a Comic-Con. Everybody goes to different Comic-Cons, talk to different people, talk about the show. And, you know, you can get little support that way. You know, networking is important, too.
Sure.
You know, I find a lot of podcasts. I find out about new podcasts from other people that podcast. You know, when you mention something you like, and they do the same for you, you cross, you know, listeners, you gain listeners from, if I like this show, I'll like this show.
Right.
And that's always important to do.
Sure. And for me, my hosting and everything else, bandwidth and the works through Bluehost is like $4.99 a month. That's it. And that's unlimited bandwidth, unlimited hosting. I can pay $5 a month to keep this thing going. That's not going to kill me. So I don't need right now I don't need a sponsor to cover the $5. If it ever gets more expensive than that, then yes, sure, I might look for other options or other opportunities, but I'm kind of okay where I am right now, but that might be different for, you know, people who have different needs.
Well, I know with HitCast, I only pay about $9, and I have like, it doesn't matter how many podcasts you run through it. Mm-hmm. I run like, I have a TV podcast, I got a comic book roundtable podcast, interview podcast. So you can run all those things through that same thing. You just have to make sure you keep your, you have to keep your own files,
right?
You know, they only hold a certain amount of files.
They're all subdomains. Is that what it is?
Not subdomains, okay. But they only hold like I think they hold about maybe 40 to 50 shows, and then you have to, you know, hold on to your own, and you can find other means to do it.
Okay.
If you want to put money together and build a good website to host all your, you know, files, you can do that.
But, well, and for me, that's what WordPress has been.
Right.
I mean, you know, having I run WordPress off of my Bluehost site, and it has links to every single host that I've ever done, and Bluehost hosts every single one of the episodes. I have a subdomain for Comic Timing. I now have an actual web address for Comic Timing that redirects to that. And actually, that's another thing, too. Even if you're hosting off of one particular website, it might be a good idea to get a subdomain that redirects to that. That's easier to remember.
Right.
Because for years, I've had speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. No one remembers that URL.
I remember GeekSpeak.
Thank you for pretending that you remember that. That now I have comictiming.net.
Right.
A lot easier to remember.
Yeah.
You know, and that costs an extra like $3 a month. That's it.
Well, I know Half Hour Wasted and Legion of Dudes, they put everything together, PKD, Black Box, and it's, I listen to all the shows, so it's easier for me to go on the website.
Sure.
And I can see what shows they post.
Right.
And when you can do something like that, put your podcast together, it makes it even easier.
Who here uses Libsyn? Because Libsyn, I know, is another opportunity.
Well, I was going to piggyback off of that, plugging you guys back there with the HHWLOD network. Anytime I'm looking for a new podcast or like I hear about one, I mean, you guys just got an awesome setup now, but anytime I hear about one, I go to their site, and if I go there and it's kind of like a mess, and I'm like, look, I just want the RSS feed.
Right.
Because like, I don't listen through iTunes. I have a Droid and I listen through Google Listen.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want your iTunes link. I just want your RSS feed. So a lot of times I'm like, I'm trying to be a fan, you know, and I'm looking around for an RSS feed.
I have every feed listed on the site for that exact reason, because I know that not everyone's going to have an iTunes account. Not everyone's going to have this, that, and that. So I use FeedBurner for the RSS.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I use.
Which is a nice way to get everything in one basket.
And on top of like getting more listeners too, putting out, I think a lot of people just think iTunes and that's it.
Right.
We get hits from Zune.
I guess
there's like 10 people in the world that use a Zune, I guess.
No. I do not use a Zune. Do not point at me. I had a Zen, okay? A Zen is a different thing.
Yeah.
No, I had a Creative Zen Vision M until about 6 months ago that I had for 4 years, and I would see at least 10 to 15 a month from Zencast, which I think me and 7 other people actually use. And we'd actually get some downloads from that.
We post ours on the Zune, iTunes. I used to use it, a program called Miro, M-I-R-O. We get hits from that. And it's just a matter of getting the program. Yeah.
Google Reader sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, just find all these different podcatchers and stuff and giving access to people to use all the different means. Because even if you get like one person from it, you got one person, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. Dave, you were the Libsyn user, correct? I'm wondering how that works for you, because I know that they have like a sliding scale, bandwidth wise, and everything.
Yeah, I think you can download an unlimited amount, but you only get a certain amount of new storage space each month, and that's what kills us. That's what's pushed us up to about $20 a month.
Okay,
is because I don't want to record at a really low bit rate.
Right.
As much as I still think our sound quality is rubbish, even with a mixer, that's my own incompetence. I just don't want it to sound really, really low bitrate. So, and we tend to do long episodes. So, probably if we do one each week, it's maybe 6 or 8 hours a month, and that puts us in the $20.
Okay.
But for that, I get an iPhone app that both of my listeners can download. So, I figure if I charge it, set the price for that at $5,000, I'm sorted.
Fantastic, Steve Jobs. That's amazing. Well, talking about that, when it comes to conversion and bitrate and all that, I have only maybe once in the history of the show actually made a stereo recording, because we're a talk show. In essence, we're a talk show. So you don't need stereo for that, because people are just listening to you, say, if they're jogging or if they're on their way to work. They're going to hear the same thing out of both headphones, even if it's mono.
You don't need that because all it does is add extra megabytes to your file. What I usually do, I use a variable bit rate encoding on like the lowest possible level. And that gets me, if I have a two-hour show, the file will be about maybe 65 megabytes, which this day and age, most people having, you know, high bandwidth internet, they can download in a couple minutes tops. And that's, the sound quality has always worked well for me, and I've been using that basically since I started doing Comic Timing, and it's worked pretty well. So that's something to consider if you're currently doing a show in stereo that is really, really big once you actually put it out. Might be something to consider to maybe switch to mono.
Well, I'll comment on the stereo thing in a minute, but I also used Libsyn when I started Half Hour Wasted, and then when the Legion of Dudes started doing their Watchmen shows, we were working off Libsyn, and for a while it was, I had to schedule, you know, we only had X amount of bandwidth a month, and if we record a 45-minute show this week, guys, then we're going to have to wait an extra 3 days to put it out because that's when our bandwidth will go into the drain and then we get that new bandwidth. So it became a real hassle. And then when the Legion of Dudes started doing their thing, we needed more bandwidth. And the more guys you have involved, the less it costs per person, which is nice, obviously. But you know, after a while, we just decided, let's just get our own domain. And Ken and Russ were the brains behind that, and they're the ones that created the great website that we have. So,
yeah.
But the stereo thing also, when I first started recording, I was sending out a mono signal to what I was recording, mm-hmm. but I was sending out a stereo file.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention because right. I have the attention span of a 3-year-old. So when I realized what I was doing, then I made it mono and it cut the file size in half. I'm like, yeah. Oh, this is great. So, but now lately I've been thinking about, as a novelty, releasing like a stereo episode, like with me in one ear and Frank in the middle and Bill in the other ear. I think that would be fun, especially if Ken hates it, like you just said. What's that?
I find the only downside of that is sometimes I've pulled up podcasts and like I'm at work or something, I can only have a single earbud in my ear.
Yeah.
Because if someone comes around and they're like, hey, you need something, that way I can just like pop the one out.
Right.
So sometimes I've been listening and I'm like, what is this? Who is he talking to? And then I put the other one in and I'm like, oh, well, okay.
And that's the weird thing too. With some software recorders for Skype, they will literally, when you set it for two channels, it will be you in one channel with a stereo recording and the other person in the other channel. And there was one time that I forgot to mix it down to mono afterwards, and it was freaking me out. That, like, literally there would be nothing in this ear when the other person was talking, and that's not something you really want because of exactly what you just said. Yeah.
I was just going to say that that concept of having each person in a different channel is actually mm-hmm. very good for editing.
Yeah.
You know, if you end up talking over each other, it's very easy to get around that. But when
right.
you're both in the same channel, but like I said, you just got to remember, you got to make sure you mix it down. Another thing is a word of caution. I've seen this amateur mistake from a couple of podcasts on their first episode. Going from stereo to mono is not as simple as deleting one track.
Yes.
Because suddenly now you just have a right track instead of a mono track. You got to make sure you mix it down. At Legion of Dudes, what we'll do is we will record and edit in a high bit rate stereo, but then we do our final encode down to the final MP3. We'll drop it down to a mono, like 64 kbps, yeah. and get a good size file out of that.
Same here, actually, because with the H2, it records at stereo 320, and then I mix it down into a lower bit rate, variable bit rate recording in mono.
Well, that H2 does have a mono mix.
Oh yeah, no, it does.
Option, and,
yeah.
And I'll always have that on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's
Might
easier
well.
To listen to, and I don't have to worry where my faders are on the, you
right.
know, to a degree where they are
yeah.
in the mixer. But I use iTunes to do my final export, whatever file I'm going to use. Mm-hmm. I just change like the import settings.
Right.
You know, like if you're importing a CD, you can have it set it mono or stereo or what bit rate or whatever, MP3, AAC, whatever. I just change that to whatever I want the final file to be, and I'll right click it in my list and I'll say export MP3 version, and that gives me I've never had any trouble. Yeah. It's just easiest. I don't have to use another piece of software. Everything's right there for me.
Yeah, that works just fine. Yeah, I use Adobe Audition for my editing because I'm on Windows, and they have a mixdown setting, so I just wind up using that. But I wind up importing it into iTunes anyway because I like adding in all the info, like the art and stuff like that.
That's why I started doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, it's just like, since I already have Audition open, I'll just mix it down into that and then just put it on in.
Well, I was going to say, you guys keep saying about bandwidth and everything. I mean, obviously, I'm doing video first, but we put an MP3 version out.
Yeah.
Use Blip TV. It's BLIP dot TV. Mm-hmm. $8 a month. It doesn't matter. I'm putting out 600 megabyte videos. You know, I put out I put out five different feeds. Mm-hmm. I put out an MP4, an M4V, two different size WMVs, and an MP3.
And fries with that?
Well, because I got people like saying, hey, I want to watch it on different versions. I think you wanted the WMV. Right. So then I was like, well, and Blip TV is like, $8. $8 a month. Doesn't matter how many downloads I get, and they host it all. So I just, you know, I just link to it. And I got $8 per month. I got five, you know, different file sizes going on there. Mm-hmm. But now it takes a little work though to get all that information.
Right.
Put it onto our page, run that then through FeedBurner.
Yeah.
Once you got that set up, it just every week when it's like, okay, new video came out, I have to sit there and sync everything up so it goes through RSS. But $8.
Yeah.
And you know, I got over a gig of, you know, content.
That's not bad at all.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can just, if you want, you can just do an audio thing through Blip TV, but, I mean, it's worth a shot.
I'm sure you probably could. I mean, there's usually an option like that. Before you say anything, Joe, real quick, for those who are editing and looking to edit, download Levelator. That is a savior amongst saviors, because if I'm talking all the way up here, and the other guy is talking over here, it makes you all the same level. And it does help with that. Sure, there will be some hissing. Yes, I see you over there, Brad. And I agree, sometimes it can be a pain. But if we're close in level, but slightly high-low, it does help me out a lot.
I'm an audio snob, so I hate that. You know, you've heard the expression, fix it in post.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
Get it right the first time.
Right.
Get your levels right. Tell the guy to speak louder.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on Levelator. It's only a catch-all. If you run out of toilet paper, then you use Levelator. You know what I mean?
No. And most of the time when I'm recording at home on Skype, it is as simple as, you know, talk louder. But when you're at a convention setting, sometimes you can't avoid that. And that's usually when Levelator helps me out.
I'll just echo what Brad said. I mean, he's absolutely right. Better to get it right the first time. I do use a mixer and when we record through Skype. Audacity is a recording, but I'm watching the Audacity waveform as it generates, and I'm riding the levels on the Skype. You know, I've got one guy on Skype who's real high, another one is real low. I've got to manually, you know, change that.
Right.
So if you can get it as best as you can the first time, you know, recording on the H2 is nice, but you can't see what it's recording.
Right.
You know, that's why I prefer to use Audacity. I can see the waveform as being generated, and I can correct on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it is also as simple as, you know, doing it by ear. And if I hear someone who's really freaking loud on the Skype recording, I will stop. I will say, hold on a minute, lower yourself, and then we'll finish up. But
Grant Morrison, we have to do this over.
Oh, no.
Ian never has to tell me to speak up.
Yeah, because you're always too loud.
I know.
Should we go to the lightning round?
Yeah. Any final thoughts? Final questions? You want to pop out there? By all means.
Anybody want to promote themselves?
No. Yeah. Please. I mean, Daryl, come on. You were talking enough. Might as well. not that. I mean, this will come out as a comic timing. Everyone knows you already, but you might as well.
Well, I do a roundtable one called No Apologies. Comic Book Roadshow is pure interviews. And the Fixer's Hideout is not I'm on the podcast. It's not my podcast, but it's
that's
the
Umar's.
Fixer's Hideout. It's Umar's podcast. Nothing's On, I do with Donnie Salvo. That's TV. We throw in a movie here and there, and we argue a lot. and
Donnie Salvo helps out on PKD.
Yes, he does Tales from the Attic. Mm-hmm. And He yells a lot there too, and
he's PK, good at that.
Yes, yeah. And then PKD Black Box, they they do everything.
Fantastic.
So,
Dave in the back, you want to pip yourself?
I don't. If I had that many podcasts, I wouldn't have time for TV.
Uh oh.
Yep, we're waiting for the trade. You can find us just waiting for the trade on Facebook or iTunes. And that's me and the missus, who's the quiet one sat two Woof over does. From me.
Woof da.
She's nodding.
Nah. Don't make her speak. Don't worry. Mr. Milo?
If you go to HHWLOD, you can find Half Hour Wasted. You can find Legion of Dudes. You can find the PK Media Black Box. You can find the Walking Dead TV podcast, which is some of our guys from Legion of Dudes and myself. And Media Minutes, which is your latest media reviews. You want to know how the new Rock Vin Diesel movie, Faster? No, that was The Rock. What is it? Fast Five?
Fast Five, yeah.
You tune into Media Minutes, and you'll get a under 5 minute review. And is your show going to join soon? No.
No. Sorry. Oh, that's sad. and Mr. Hope Lantern, Blue Lantern.
Fast Five is. I'm so confused because I thought The Rock and Vin Diesel were the same guy.
Well, no, my favorite line in the trailer for that movie is still, "And whatever you do, don't let them get into cars."
And mine's I'm Victor, and it's exploringthemultiverse.com, and you can see all of our different links and all the different feeds on there. We do video, and we do put out an audio edition. A lot of people say, I don't have time to sit down and watch the video for 50 minutes. So I'm like, hey, we do put out an audio. Now, yeah. You just miss out on some of our nice spectacles and stuff that we do the video.
Yeah. No, and it's good to do both, because you never know how people are actually going to have the time to listen to something.
Well, I wanted to set us aside from other ones and just do video. And for the longest time, we're like, no, we're just doing video. And finally, we're just like, well, I can just click, and I put out an audio edition. So why am I not doing this?
I mean, that's what the Twit Network does. Right. All of Wheel Report shows are in video and audio because you really never know. Raph, you might as well.
So I just put out the 86th episode of the Geekshenette Network. It's supposed to be a group of podcasts with a whole bunch of co-hosts who have all since disappeared or died. There is...
Died? Seriously?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, fine.
There is the main show...
They haven't found the bodies yet.
There is what's going to become the Raphcast, which is basically me talking to myself about things I like, and you people unfortunately have to listen to it. There is the Sporting Goods, which is hosted by this guy, Ian, who I don't know if
Maybe we'll record one someday.
Maybe someday in the future. There's also Who Watches the Who, which is... Again, going to be me talking about Doctor Who by myself. And there's a whole bunch of other shows that will come out eventually when I feel like it. But it will all be me talking to myself.
Because he is the only one who actually listens to himself. I'm Comic Timing.
Comic Timing.
Hello, nice to meet you. At comictiming.net. And also GeekSpeak Report, if you want to listen to the old stuff, at speakgeekspeak.com, but I wouldn't recommend it. Thank you yet again for that, people. And if you haven't, comicspodcasts.net for the Comics Podcast Network. They got a whole bunch of stuff for people that aren't here. It's definitely worth it. And
sir, would you like to plug your podcast?
Hi. I'm from
DC Noise.
I'm trying to make it. Yeah, DC Noise.
Yeah, wow.
Comic Book Noise. Uncanny X-Cast.
That one episode of Comic Timing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want everyone here to know that the door prize raffle is in 5 minutes.
So. All right. We're wrapping up.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that announcement. So.
Awesome. And for everyone who's listening to this a week later, the door prize is happening right now. Just so you know.
Run.
I'd just like to say that I'm Joe Surge, and I don't have a podcast yet, but I expect to be on every one of yours within the next
Yes,
month.
I want to thank Joe for helping us out here. He's been a major, major help with the microphone. I want to thank in the back over there for your glorious, glorious, glorious portable microphone. Big, big help. And for everybody else for coming on, I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And it's been fun. So. Hope to do it again next year. Enjoy the rest of your super show.
Napkin sketches, 20 cents.
No.
Yeah, come on. That's how I scam people. I'm like Rob Giannino here. Just, I do it, and then you guys draw.
This is free.